Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan. Today we jump into the world of fixed sports, starting with Steve Wilson, the crusading reporter of the Illustrated Press. Steve tells us about the final fix from January 25th, 1949.
Lever Brothers Company, makers of Life Boy Health Soap, present Big Town.
Extra, extra, extra! Here's Steve Wilson in Sports Racket Exposé. Big Town gambler slain in the fatal fix. Extra, extra!
Yes, Lever Brothers Company, makers of Life Boy Health Soap, are proud to present Big Town. The story of fighting editor Steve Wilson of the Illustrated Press, whose newspaper creed stands for freedom and justice against the forces of intolerance and evil.
The power and the freedom of the press is a flaming sword. That it may be a faithful servant of all the people, use it justly, hold it high, guard it well.
Now to Big Town and Steve Wilson's headline racket exposé captioned, The Fatal Fix. Baseball, basketball, boxing, the racetrack have become big business, big money. And when professional gamblers move in, sportsmanship is out. And such is the case in The Fatal Fix that began, insofar as Steve Wilson was concerned, on an abandoned coal dock on the waterfront of Big Town.
Hush up, Cleo. You've had your milk. Go catch yourself a rat. Hush up, Cleo. Somebody just drove out on the dock. I'm gonna blow out the candle.
They ain't coming to our shanty boat. You and me don't know nobody that owns a car except our friend Mr. Wilson of the press.
Cleo! Cleo! Somebody's getting murdered. You stay in the shanty. I'm gonna sneak up on the dock and see what's happened. Because the cops blame us for anything that happens on this old dock. Golly, the car's going away.
But something happened. Something awful happened.
Help, somebody. Help, somebody help me.
Lady, I ain't nobody much, but I'll help you. What happened?
He hit me. He cut my face with a knife. Help me.
Oh, sure. Lean on me, lady. I'll help you into my shanty boat.
No. I got away from him out of the car, but he'll come back. Kill me. They gotta kill me.
Who's gotta kill you?
I know too much about the fix.
What fix?
The bribes, the game, the big game. They're gonna miss shots and fix the score. They'll come back.
Oh, then I better get you out of here.
I got no place to go. They'll find me.
No, they won't, lady. I know a newspaper fella that'll know what to do.
A newspaper man? Well, they'll kill me if I talk to the newspapers.
No, they won't. My friend, Mr. Wilson, will get them before they get you. Now, come on, lady. I'll help you to a place where we can phone him right away.
Yeah.
Brad?
Yeah.
It's me, Shiv.
So what?
Lola got away.
You dope.
But she ain't got far.
Get her or you'll get it.
Okay. She's on a coal dock with an old river rat named Willie the Weep.
Get her and clam him.
I marked her. She's plenty scared. Maybe she'll stay clamped.
Bring her here and we'll find out.
What if she won't come, Brad?
If she won't play, finish marking her up and dunk her deep.
Steve, you got a minute?
Always for you, Lorelei. Come in.
Thanks. Will you take a look at this safe driving material?
Sure thing. How's that lead article coming?
Well, here it is.
Uh-huh. Death at the wheel. Good.
The Safety Council has given us the latest figures.
Fine, but figures don't scare people enough, Lorelei.
Well, they need to be scared out of their wits.
No, into using their wits, realizing that any careless driver is asking for a fatal accident.
I've hammered on that with a few well-chosen incidents.
Yeah, so I see. Swell. Lead off with this and make it a series.
Uh-oh, your private line to your listening post and the friend to the so-called underworld.
Yes, I'm expecting a new tip on that numbers racket murder last week. Hello, Steve Wilson, Illustrated Press.
Mr. Wilson, it's me, Willie the Wee.
Oh, hello, Willie. How's everything along the waterfront?
Something awful just happened on the old coal dock alongside my shanty boat.
What happened, Willie?
Somebody almost killed a girl.
Good grief. Let's have it, Willie. Fast.
Well, he beat her and cut her up with a knife, but she got away from him.
Now, wait a minute, Willie. Not quite so fast. Where is she, Willie?
Hiding in an alley, outside the dog wagon I'm phoning from. She's afraid the fellow will come back and finish killing her.
Is she badly wounded?
No, just cut on the face and kind of dizzy from being hit on the head.
What's back of it, Willie?
It's some kind of a racket.
Racket?
Knows too much. She's afraid to go home. I said you'd help her, but she's scared of everybody.
I'll hang up and get back to her, Willie. She may try to get away from you and hide.
What'll I do with her, Mr. Wilson? She won't let me take her to the police.
I'll take her to Mozart's Harbor Cafe. It's only a couple of blocks from where you are, Willie.
Okay, Mr. Wilson. Are you coming down?
Yes, with Miss Kilburn. We'll be there in 10 minutes. Get going, Willie. Don't let that girl get away.
Thus, Steve Wilson moves into a situation promising dangerous complications. And for the exciting developments in this fatal fix, we'll return to Big Town in a moment. Lifebuoy, get skin cleaner.
Lifebuoy, get skin cleaner.
Lifebuoy, with its purifying ingredient, get skin cleaner, stops BO as no other leading soap can. Here's what the doctors proved in 820 scientific tests.
People took daily baths with different soaps. Doctors found that Lifebuoy does more than just remove the grime and perspiration you can see. Lifebuoy is more effective than any other leading soap against the invisible dirt you never see. Doctors say that Lifebuoy's purifying ingredient makes the difference. And it makes Lifebuoy milder, too.
Yes, safe even for babies' tender skin.
No wonder Lifebuoy today is used in the homes of 40 million Americans. They like its mildness, its rich lather, its greater protection. Lifebuoy, get skin cleaner.
Lifebuoy, get skin cleaner.
Lifebuoy, get skin cleaner. Stops BO as no other leading soap can. So bathe with Lifebuoy every day. Get the big new bath size. Buy Lifebuoy right away. Now back to Big Town and Steve Wilson's story of the fatal fix. Acting on a gang violence tip, Steve is on his way to Mozart's Harbor Cafe. But meanwhile, Willie the Weep is trying to lead the victim, a young girl, along a dark street to Mozart's place.
Come on, lady. My friend Mr. Wilson's going to meet us at Mozart's Harbor Cafe and help you.
No. If I talk to the newspapers, they'll find me and kill me sure next time. Let me go, please, Mr. Willie.
No, lady, you're all cut up and bleeding. Mozart will fix you up, and Mr. Wilson will see nothing more happens to you.
No, they'll find me and kill me.
They was gonna anyway. They will anyhow. Please, lady, come on. It's only about a block to Mozart.
All right, but... That car. Let me go.
It's no use. You're too sick to run away.
It's him. Shiv.
Yeah, Lola, baby. Come on, get in the car. The boss wants to see you.
You keep away from this lady. You let her alone.
Well, listen to who's talking.
You put away that knife and leave this lady alone.
And listen to who's giving orders.
Leave him alone, Shiv. He was just trying to help me. He don't know nothing. I'll go with you. I can't help myself.
Sure, Lola. You're going to see the boss and tell him you've learned your lesson. Now get in the car while I learn this stumble bum his lesson.
Let me go, Shiv.
Shut up.
You let that lady alone.
Oh, so you want to play rough, huh? Okay, brass knucks will do for you.
Say, boss, Miss Kilburn.
Say it, Harry, but watch your driving. I'm doing a feature series on reckless drivers, and it wouldn't look good if I were involved in even a minor accident.
Oh, fear not, Miss Kilbourne. I am well aware of the fact that auto manufacturers have been able to foolproof everything on a car but the nut at the wheel and drive accordingly. Mozart's joint coming up.
Pull up and stop, Harry. But wait for us. That girl might be seriously cut up, and we may have to rush her to a hospital.
Check, boss. And I will keep my trusty Naganaka handy in case the mug that mocked her should show up to do an encore.
Do that, Harry. There's something ugly back of this. Come on, Lorelei.
Right with you, Steve. My nurse's aid training may come in handy if Mozart hasn't been able to patch up that gal's face.
Yes, and that face slashing trademarks this as gang vengeance or a final warning. Let's go in the side door. They probably got the girl in the back room.
If Willie was able to persuade her to come here.
Well, Mozart is in the back. I hear him beating out the blues.
Yeah, that's odd. Let's go in.
Yes. Good grief, he's alone.
Well, Willie and the girl aren't here.
They've had time enough. Mozart?
Oh, Steve. Lorelei. What brings you down to the waterfront?
To meet Willie the Waif.
Willie?
Yes, Mozart. He found the girl beaten up on the dock near his shanty. Phoned me, and I asked him to bring her here.
Well, I haven't showed. I've been here practicing one-handed harmonies in case I never get this busted wing out of its sling.
Oh, how is your wounded shoulder, Mozart?
I'll live. But Willie's not showing. Don't look good.
Well, it's 15 minutes since he phoned me from a dog wagon only 3 blocks from here.
Well, he said the girl was afraid to talk to the newspapers. Maybe she wouldn't come, Steve, and got away from him.
Well, I was taken away from him by the slug who cut her up. Stay here, Lorelei. I'll get Harry, and we'll scout the streets between here and the cold.
Mozart!
Willie!
Mr. Wilson!
Oh, Steve, he's been beaten up.
Willie, what's happened? Here, man, let me help you. Sit down. Sit down. You're out on your feet.
He got her, Mr. Wilson. I couldn't stop him. I tried, but he had brass knuckles, and he beat me.
Now, take it easy, Willie. I'm sure you did your best.
Mozart, get me a wet cloth, quick.
Yeah, sure, Lorelei. I'll get him a slug or something.
She tried to keep him from beating me up, Mr. Wilson. Said she'd go with him to see a guy he called the boss.
Steve, that means there's still time to do something.
Willie, did she give you any clue as to who these men are? What racket they're in?
Yeah, gambling.
Gambling? What kind?
Something to do with a fix.
A fix?
Games. Fixing the score. Missing shots.
Steve, haven't there been rumors of a gambling fix in the basketball league?
Yes, and this girl may have been a contact, Lorelei, or knew too much.
She called a fella Shiv.
Shiv, the knife. Probably a goon boy for the gang. Did she mention someone else?
No, but he's taken her to the boss to see if she's learned her lesson.
I wonder if she has, and which lesson.
Well, either way, she's marked for elimination, sooner or later.
Well, sooner or later could both be tonight. What can we do, Steve?
Play a long shot, Lorelei. There's no time for anything else.
How do we play it?
Most of the gamblers operate out of the old Grand Hotel.
Golly, yes, and what do you know, Joe? The night clerk knows every two- and four-legged rat in the place.
Here's a wet cloth, Lorelei, and a slug of grape juice, Willie.
Grape juice?
Don't worry, Willie, it's been distilled. You'll never taste the grapes. Now drink it down.
And hold still, Willie. I'll wipe the dirt out of those cuts.
All right, Miss Kilburn. But could I have a little more of the grape juice, Mozart?
Sure thing, Willie.
Hold still, Willie. Are you going to phone? What do you know, Joe, Steve?
No, I'm going over there, Lorelei.
Wait a minute, and I'll go with you.
No, Lorelei, patch up Willie. I'll take Harry. And if my hunch is right, I'll ring in Inspector Callahan of Homicide.
Room service, Old Grand Hotel.
Young man, get me the management.
Lady, I'm all the management there is this time of night. What's the beef?
Beef?
Squawk, York, or what have you.
Someone has a horse in the room next to mine.
A horse? Now, lady.
Two horses. They're galloping round the room.
Hey, you're in 7-9, ain't you?
What's that got to do with those horses?
Plenty, lady. Them ain't horses.
What are they?
Two bookies reenacting a dead heat at Hialeah.
Are you crazy?
Yeah, or I wouldn't be working in this dump. Relax, lady. They'll sleep it off just as soon as they finish the race.
Hello, Joe. You having trouble with the old grand inmates?
Hiya, Mr. Wilson. Nothing special. What brings you to this AC Ducey joint this time AM?
Something very special, Joe. Could you stick your neck out long enough to give me a little information on a couple of your big-time gamblers?
Well, I don't know, Mr. Wilson. I ain't carrying much insurance. But then I ain't got any dependents.
Well, you won't have to show in this, Joe.
I wouldn't be any more use to you for tips if I did. What'll it be?
A girl in the middle of a sports fix.
Uh-oh. Don't they ever learn?
She's had one lesson, Joe, that left her beaten up and marked with a knife. Willie the Weep found her and called me. But they took her away from Willie, beat him up, and took her back to school for another lesson.
Uh-huh. Who's the teacher?
I don't know, but his knife boy goes by the appropriate name of Shiv.
Shiv?
Yes.
Brad Keller's goon.
Keller, the promoter. What do you know, Joe? What do you know? How much do you know?
Too much for my own good.
Keller has a room here, hasn't he?
Yeah, the bridal suite. And the Shiv came in with a beat-up gal about 10 minutes ago.
10 minutes ago?
Yeah. Said she got nicked by a truck.
Where's that bridal suite, Joe?
Top floor. But look, Mr. Wilson, them ain't honeymooners up there.
Lend me a passkey, Joe.
You ain't going up there alone.
No, Harry's outside.
Look, that hacky's monkey wrench is no good against rods, and you never carry one.
Well, let's leave the guns to the police, Joe. Phone Inspector Callahan of Homicide.
Homicide? You figure there's going to be another murder in this joint?
Well, if it isn't headed off, now get Callahan on the double.
Okay, I only hope you know what you're doing, Mr. Wilson.
Just trying to prevent a murder, Joe. How about that passkey?
Okay, Mr. Wilson. Here you are.
Thanks very much, Joe. Till you're better paid.
Ah, don't mention it. Only don't forget that key will open just about any door, including your size meat box in the morgue.
Say, boss, how come we are hoofing it up these back stairs?
Well, I'd rather not advertise our arrival on the floor outside Keller's suite, Harry.
Yeah, and that rickety elevator would sure proclaim our proximity.
That's right. And this is it. Now listen carefully.
I'm all ears, boss, and I got my trusty monkey wrench ready, willing, and able.
Well, just keep it ready, but keep quiet, Harry. And let's hope we can wait until Inspector Callahan and his homicide boys get here.
Okay, but are we going to just wait here at the head of the stairs?
No, Harry, I want you to stay here, out of sight, and watch the hall. If anyone comes up, follow them. Just that and nothing more.
Check, boss, but while you will be doing what?
Here's my plan, Harry. What do you know, Joe? Give me a passkey and a sketch of the layout of Keller's suite. There are two entrances. One to the bedroom down at the end of the hall.
You going in there before Callahan gets here?
Yes, Keller and his knife boy and the girl should be in the front room. I want to hear what they're talking about. Get the lowdown on this sports fix. Who's involved? And be as close as possible in case there's any more trouble in store for that girl.
That is a pretty large order, boss, and a precarious preoccupation in which you'd better exercise extreme caution, as the saying goes.
I will, Harry. And I'm going to keep out of it until Callahan arrives, unless they start to work on that girl again.
Even so, you have not got any gun, and it is liable to end up with them working on you. So how about borrowing my trusty knock-a-knock in case of contingencies?
No, Harry. If this turns into a slugfest, someone is liable to get killed.
Okay, boss. I'll be here waiting for a call if you need me. Just make sure that somebody getting killed ain't you.
Snap out of it, Lola, and listen to me.
Don't, Brad. I won't talk. I swear I won't.
She's lying, Brad. I got a notion she talked her head off to that mooching stumblebum Willie to wait.
I didn't. I swear I didn't.
I spotted him coming out of a dog wagon near the dock. He must have phoned somebody. He was taking her someplace when I caught up with him.
Shut up, Shiv. Stop running off at the mouth. You messed this play up, but good.
Well, what do you mean? You told me to...
I told you to throw a scare into her.
I tried just talking, but she wouldn't listen. She tried to jump out of the car.
So you mark her up so the cops will grill her till she talks if they spot her and pick her up.
I won't talk. I won't tell what I know. I promise.
Don't buy that, boss. She's seen me beat up that dope Willie to weep. If she squawks, I go back to the pen for keeps with my record.
Shut up and quit thinking about yourself, Shiv. You muffed this play and you deserve anything you get.
You'll get a piece of anything I get.
Listen, you rat... Listen, don't threaten me. If you're picked up for that work on Willie the Weep and you drag my name into it, you won't be safe in solitary. Now shut up while I tell Lola how it's going to be.
Okay. Okay, tell her.
Now listen, Lola, get it straight. I'm only going to tell you once.
I'm listening, Brad.
You got in this deal with your eyes open. You played the come-on to them dribble pusses and hoop artists. Primed them for the payoff to throw some key games. so my syndicate could lay plenty of long, odd bets and make a killing.
Well, I couldn't help it if they went to the prosecutor.
No, but you could have beat it out of town like you were told.
I was hiding in a girlfriend's apartment. That's where Shiv found me.
I'll say I did.
And the cops would have found you if Shiv hadn't got you first.
I wouldn't have talked.
We're going to make sure of that, Lola.
How?
You're going to go on a little trip with Shiv.
Oh, no, please, Brad, not with Shiv. Let me go alone. I'll get out of town. I'll stay out of Big Town. I'll hide.
That chance with that cut-up kisser.
Well, that's your fault.
That was for scratching and biting me, you lippy twist, and for 2 cents I'd give you...
Lay off, Shiv. Get ready to ride.
Where's he taking me, Brad?
To a place out of town where the cops won't bother you and nobody will see that face of yours. Come on, get going.
Wait, Brad, please. Let me go fix my face. We might be stopped on the way and I look a mess.
Yeah. Maybe you better go wash your face and put some adhesive on that cut on your cheek. Go with us, Shiv.
No, please, I can do it.
What, and maybe get an idea to slip out the hall door of the bedroom? Nothing doing. Go along with us, Shiv.
Okay. Come on, baby, and no funny business, or I'll mark you up so you'll need a couple of yards of tape.
Put away that knife and just see she don't break for that hall door or get near no windows and jump.
Okay, Brad.
Come on, baby.
Hurry it up. Get her ready and out of here. I'll phone the boys to take plenty of bets of the big game tomorrow night. Hey, Joe, get me long distance.
Come on, Toots, and let's not have any more trouble.
Let go of my arm. I hate you, you dirty little rat.
Oh, yeah? Maybe I'll give you a real reason when we get where we're going.
In the bedroom.
Now, wait till I snap on the light.
Hey, you, don't be tame. You close that door.
No, I didn't.
Now, shut up, or I'll press your windpipe in your spine, you filthy little rat. Come here, miss.
Who are you?
Never mind. Snap on the light, quick.
Don't let him cry out. Keller's in the next room on the phone.
I know. I've been listening. Snap on the light.
Be careful. He has a knife.
He had a knife? There. Pick it up off the floor. Get out of here. The hall door.
What are you going to do?
Bring this knife-slinging slug along as Exhibit A.
Shiv, what's the idea of closing this door? You... Get away from that hall door, Lola. Let go of my boy, mister.
All right, Keller. That gun makes him all yours for the moment.
Wilson, the racket-busting newsie.
Yes, and it looks like I came to the right place.
You're gonna wish you hadn't. Come here, Lola. Give Shiv his knife.
I didn't fix this fix, Brad. I didn't know he was in here. I wasn't gonna talk.
I'll get to you, baby. Give Shiv his knife.
Yeah, baby.
Give me that carver. Looks like the sticker's got work to do.
Thus, the tables have been turned on Steve Wilson. And for the exciting payoff, we'll return to Big Town in just a moment. Doctors have proved it. Life Boy, with its purifying ingredient, gets skin cleaner, stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. People took daily baths with different soaps. Doctors compared the results. They found that no other leading soap cleansed and protected as well as Life Boy. For Life Boy, with its purifying ingredient, is more effective than any other leading soap against the invisible dirt that forms a foothold for B.O. And Life Boy is milder, too. So enjoy a refreshing Life Boy bath every day. Buy Life Boy right away. Now, back to Steve Wilson and the Gambler's headquarters at the old Grand Hotel in tonight's racket expose headlined, The Fatal Fix.
Come on, Wilson. How did you get wise to our big fix?
Talk. Yeah, Wilson, talk.
Tell your goon boy to take the tip of his knife away from my throat, and I'll tell you anything you want to know, Keller.
Talk, or I'll split your apple for trying to bust mine.
Back up, Shiv. I want to know how much this nosy newsy knows and who else knows.
The public prosecutor knows plenty,
maybe
Keller.
He does, but he ain't got no proof. No witnesses that we bribed any players to throw games.
Wrong, Keller. Most of the players are honest, and they reported your girlfriend's attempt to bribe them.
That don't prove she was acting for me.
And she ain't talking, are you, baby?
Brad, let Mr. Wilson go. I won't talk. I swear I won't talk if you'll let him go.
Isn't the Pocahontas?
Shut up, Shiv. What's your angle on this, Wilson?
Helping the police smash your dirty racket, Keller.
Yeah?
Yes. But at the moment, I'll settle for persuading you to take a criminal conspiracy rap before you get involved in murder.
Who's going to get murdered?
You're going to have to kill this girl, and perhaps me, to keep this sports fix under wraps.
Oh, yeah, Wilson? How much do you want to keep your mouth shut?
I couldn't keep it quiet if you offered me $1 million.
Why not?
Because I've already notified the police. Callahan of Homicide is on his way here.
He's lying, Brad. He's playing this alone for a scoop in his lousy Illustrated
Press. That notion has burned smarter crooks than you, Shiv. Call Switchboard if you don't believe Callahan is notified. And you're both caught in this rat trap.
He's lying, stolen. Let me take him a little for a ride.
Shut up, Shiv. You interest me, Wilson. What's the deal?
You'll have to make your deal with the prosecutor, Keller. And I'll bet you he'd trade your state's evidence for a short term if you'll throw in this knife-slinging rat on the attempted murder of Willie the Weep.
Why, you dirty, lousy nosy...
Lay off, Shiv!
Wilson's got something.
You loused this play.
Oh, yeah? Well, this knife says you're not going to sell me up the river.
You knife-slinging rat. Rat! Wilson. Wilson, Shiv's knife.
Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wilson.
That's all, miss. That's all there is. I knew there was bad blood between them. Knew if I needled Keller into a deal, they'd revert to the criminal code of dog eat dog.
What'll happen now? To me?
That'll depend on a judge and jury, miss. And how well you've learned the lesson that you can't play around the fringe of crime. It's all or nothing.
Boys! Hey, boys! What goes? Me and Miss Kilpine's out here.
Just a minute, Harry. I'll unlock this door.
Steve.
Lorelei.
I just got here and heard those shots. What happened?
Well, two crooks fell out and saved the state and the public a lot of trouble. Get on the phone, Lorelei.
Oh, sure.
Call the press. Get Dusty Miller over here for a few photos captioned Exhibit A in the big book of crime that doesn't pay.
And so ended another racket-smashing adventure in the newspaper career of Steve Wilson, Lorelei, and his associates of the Big Town Illustrated Press. Now, before hearing about next week's Big Town adventure, here are Steve Wilson and Lorelei to tell you about the contest of a lifetime.
Friends, this is your chance to win the vacation of a lifetime. Would you like to explore Paris and London? See Cairo, visit Honolulu, and other famous foreign cities? Then enter Lever's sensational $50,000 travel contest.
Just imagine, friends, you can win a round-the-world trip for two with all travel expenses paid, or choose $10,000 in cash.
Yes, and there are second prizes, too, 15 of them, with an all-expense trip to Europe for each winner, or $2,500 cash, plus 400 other prizes of $10 each. It's easy to enter. Here's all you do. Finish this statement in 25 words or less. I like Bath-size Lifebuoy because... Send each entry with a box front from Bath-size Lifebuoy to Lever Tour the World Contest, Box 1, New York 8, New York. That's Box 1, New York 8, New York. Only residents of continental United States, Alaska, and Hawaii are eligible. Free entry blanks with complete rules are now at your store. Next week, the makers of Lifebuoy bring you another hard-hitting racket exposé captioned Murder in the Snow, another exciting assignment in the newspaper career of fighting editor Steve Wilson of Big Town. Don't miss it. In tonight's dramatization, all names, times, and places are fictional. Big Town features Edward Pauley as Steve Wilson, Fran Collin as Lorelei Kilburn, and was written and produced by Jerry McGill. And if you'd like to see what the cast of Big Town are really like, read the February issue of Radio Mirror magazine for an exciting story about Big Town, complete with pictures. And next Tuesday night, same time, same station, you'll hear the newsboy calling...
Extra, extra, hear all about it. Steve Wilson in the headline story of... Murder in the Snow, brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap, another fine Lever product. Extra, extra.
New Rinso with Solium puts sunshine in your wash. Yes, rain or shine, New Rinso gives your wash an amazing new brilliance. You can dry your wash anywhere, and white clothes will turn out not just whiter, but whiter than new, and washable colors even brighter than brand new. It's because New Rinso contains the scientific sunlight ingredient, Solium. New Rinso is so safe for clothes, so kind to hands. Today, more women use Rinso than any other wash day soap in the world. Only New Rinso contains Solium.
Be sure and be with us again next Tuesday at the same time when Lever Brothers Company will again present Big Town. This is your narrator, Dwight Wiest, bidding you good night.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
No chimes this time. Let's check in with Abbott and Costello and see how they're doing at their newspaper.
Editor-in-chief, Bud Abbott speaking.
Hey, Abbott!
Hey, Abbott, where do you get the editor-in-chief stuff? Now, come on, you can't be editor-in-chief of a newspaper. You're too stupid!
Ah, what are you... I'm stupid.
You're stupid.
Did you ever go to school, stupid?
Yes, sir. And I come out the same way.
All right, look. Look, just a minute. Now, we can't both be editors.
No, of course not.
One of us has to tell the other what to do. Now, sure. Can you tell me what to do?
Boy, I'll say I can.
No. One of us has to give orders, and naturally, I'm the man for that job.
Well, who are you to give orders? What do you think you are, PFC?
Oh, look.
I mean, if you are a PFC...
All right.
You can be broke.
All right, never mind. Look, I'll tell you what we do. Let's compromise.
Okay, we'll compromise.
All right, I'll be the editor, and you be the copy boy. How's that?
That's no compromise. That's a frame-up.
What's wrong with that?
Well, they're
practically the same position.
They are, huh? Who gets more money, the editor or the copy boy?
Oh, they practically get the same.
There he goes with that practically again.
Well, we each get 50 a week. That's fair, isn't it?
We each get 50 a week?
Yes.
Then what do you mean? The salaries are practically the same?
Well, you aren't going to worry about a little decimal point. Yours, are you?
Somebody's got to worry about it.
Well, now, no.
My relatives ain't.
No, I understand. Take it easy.
I can see you ain't gonna.
No.
And do you call that fair? You get $50 a week? I mean, after all, and I get 50 cents?
No, don't be mercenary, Costello.
Don't be what?
Don't be mercenary.
I'm not mercenary.
Well, never mind that.
I mean, I don't even know who the girl is.
Never mind that. Look, we'll work out the salary deal later.
Okay.
Now, we've got a paper to get out. Now, get to work.
Okay, what do I do?
Well, empty the waste paper basket.
And what do you do?
Oh, I'm the editor.
Oh, you fill them, huh? Oh, no, you be the copy boy and I'll be the editor.
No, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll compromise.
Compromise?
Yes.
Here's where I get it in the puss again.
This week, I'll be the editor and you be the copy boy. But next week, I'll be the editor and you be the copy boy.
There's something wrong with that somewhere.
Now, don't be silly.
What do you think I am, a moron? Don't answer that.
All right. Go ahead.
I'll tell you how we'll compromise,
how?
This guy. This week, you'll be the editor, and I'll be the copy boy.
And?
But next week, I'll be the copy boy, and you'll be the editor.
Okay, that's a deal.
Thought you could put one over on me, eh?
No.
Next, someone who is known for singing plays a role of a man of adventure. It's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune in Rocky is a Prize Fighter Unwillingly. From December 29th, 1953.
Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune. NBC presents Frank Sinatra, starring as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune.
You ever notice how some guys go through life and nothing ever happens? Not even a ticket for speeding? Another guy, every time he orders a bowl of chowder, he finds a live octopus in it. Well, that's the story of my life. You take last week, I was sitting in a one-armed joint drinking black coffee and reading the want ads when I noticed a couple of ape-like characters giving me the double O. After a while, they leave their table and come over to mine.
Well, if it ain't my old pal, Gandolfo.
I beg your pardon?
Come on, Gandolfo. Don't give me the no capiche routine. Mitchell's been looking all over for you. He shouldn't have took off from the hotel room this morning without telling anybody.
Look, Buster.
The name is Stanley, remember?
Okay, Stanley, let's get something straight. My name ain't Gandolfo. I never laid an eyeball on you in all my life, and I like to eat alone. You got it?
Sure, Gandolfo. Come on, we'll go back to the hotel and see Mitchell.
Lover boy, I just finished telling you...
I don't want to have to get tough, Gandolfo, on account of I wouldn't want to cripple you before the fight tonight. So let's go quiet.
For the last time, beat it. You bother me.
Okay, Gandolfo. Now, just so we understand each other, this what you feel pressed up against your side ain't a briar pipe. You follow me?
I follow you.
Good. Follow me. And don't try nothing funny or I'll be forced to take drastic action, which might cause leakage in your radiator and valves. Okay?
Okay. Stanley is about 8 feet tall with hands like dredges. Also, he's carrying a small-sized railway gun on his hip, which is right next to my head. So I go. We take a taxi to a cheap downtown hotel, and Stanley escorts me to a room on the second floor.
Okay, this is it.
Look, if you're gonna roll me, pal, you're in for a big disappointment. Shake me upside down, all you find is a key.
Key and a lip dribble.
Come in. Hello, Stanley.
Boss, look who. I found him.
Come in. Shut the door.
I'm sitting in a resting seat, and I look up, and bingo. Right at the next table is our wandering boy, the great Gandolfo.
Sit down.
Look, mister.
I said sit down.
Thanks.
I can see how you made the mistake, Stanley.
What mistake?
Thinking this punk was Gandolfo.
What do you mean?
What's your name, punk?
Rocky Fortune, punk. What's yours?
Don't get fresh.
Should I hit him?
Take it easy, Stanley.
Boss, he's lying. This is Gandolfo, I tell you.
Shut up, Stanley. You have to forgive Stanley. He used to be a wrestler. He got dropped in his head a couple of times too often.
Would you mind telling me what this is all about as long as I'm here?
Not at all. You ever heard of Luis Gandolfo?
Yeah, he's a fighter, ain't he? Some bum from Argentina or Brazil?
He's a fighter and he's also a bum, but he happens to be from Bolivia.
Yeah, I read about him.
I'm his manager, Mike Mitchell.
I can't say it's a pleasure.
Stanley here helps handle him.
Who handles Stanley, a zookeeper?
Boss, could I hit him like once, maybe?
Luis Gandolfo is scheduled to meet Kid Cool in the garden tonight. The winner gets a crack at the Bantamweight champ.
According to the Sports Hawks, your boy is about as much chance as a snowball in Havana.
Less than that, Rocky. The odds are 6-1 that Kid Cool knocks him out, and we're betting against him.
Yeah, sounds like you got the tank all rigged up.
We had it all rigged up, but Gandolfo got cold feet and skipped, which leaves us holding the bag.
What's in the bag, Mr. Mitchell?
$600,000.
Oh, wow.
We invest 600 G's and we make 100 G's profit.
No fighter, no fight. No fight, all bets off, right?
Exactly. Only we got a fighter.
Yeah, who?
You.
Boss.
Shut up, Stanley. You're a dead ringer for our boy Gandolfo, Mr. Fortune. All you have to do is step in the ring for 2 rounds, let Kid Cool paste you, and down you go.
Well, it's been nice talking to you fellas. Any other time that you need somebody to stand up under a falling blackjack or lay down in front of a freight train, get in touch with me. Tonight I'm busy. I gotta go, really.
He said, hold it.
You're not going anyplace, Mr. Fortune. You're gonna step in that ring tonight like you were the great Gandolfo himself.
If I don't?
If you don't, Stanley here's gonna fillet you. One bone at a time. You understand?
I begin to get the picture. One minute I'm drinking coffee in a joint, the next I'm a candidate for a bruise at the garden. I settle down in the hotel room to wait for developments, which begin to develop rapidly.
Who is it?
Press!
Just a sec. Okay, Gandolfo. Now you're gonna let the reporter see you.
What do I say, goo-goo?
Gandolfo don't talk very good English. Just say, see.
Okay.
Let him in, goofball.
Right.
Well, well, if it ain't the South American Boxing Association. How's the boy, Mike?
A tiger. He's ready to murder that kid Cool. Right, Gandolfo?
See?
He don't look in such good shape.
He's deceptive. Right, Dolph? See? Look, Johnny, give him a good write-up, huh? He's 6-1 to lose. He needs encouragement. Right now, he needs rest.
Okay, I'll give him a plug in Espanol. Okay, Mike. See you.
Yeah, thanks for coming by. More? Open it.
Querido mio. Oh, let me kiss you, baby.
Yeah, why not?
Baby, why you don't call me?
He's been training, Lupi. Come on now, beat it. You can see him after the fight.
Good luck, Louis. Kiss me.
See? Honey, I'm not Luis. I'm Rocky Fortune, 52 Bleakman Street. Get the cops. Buenos dias, pumpkin.
Buenos dias, querido. Buenos dias, Mike.
Sure, see you after the fight, honey.
Nice girl. Mine?
Uh-huh. What do I call her? Lupi Monsoon. She's a chorus girl at the Latin segment. Nuts about you. Too bad you tried to tip her off, though.
Me?
Yeah, I saw you whisper to her, Rocky. Stanley.
Yeah, boss.
Go after her. Stick with her, and if she does anything suspicious, like calling the cops, stop her.
Sure, boss.
Oh, Stanley.
Yeah, boss.
Before you go, say goodbye to Gandolfo here. Show him we mean business.
Pleasure, boss. Buenos dias, punk.
That night, I am hustled over to the garden with Mike Mitchell's automatic nuzzling my ribs. I dress, weigh in, and have the gloves put on by Stanley, who has returned from tailing Lupi Monsoon. Finally, the warning buzzer sounds, and I am escorted into the ring.
Ladies and gentlemen, now the main event of the evening. In this corner, the spectacular bantamweight from Brooklyn, USA, the fighting game cop, Kid Cool. Yeah! Newcomer to American boxing circles, direct from the pampas of Bolivia, the Bolivian Jaguar, Luis Gandolfo.
Okay, now remember, Rocky, you put it around for one round, and at the end of the second round, you dive. It's all set. Kid Cool's going to give you the signal so you can make it look good.
I don't think I can stand up for one round.
You do like we say. If you don't, you get killed. Simple?
Too simple.
Okay, now get in there. And remember, we're right behind you.
The bell rings and I'm on my bicycle trying to keep away from Kid Cool, who's after me like I was the mechanical rabbit at the dog races. I managed to outleg him for the first couple of minutes, but as the bell rings, he tags me with a right that makes me see double. I stagger into my corner and flop.
Nice footwork, Rocky. You're practicing for the Olympic sprints or something. The fans are screaming for blood.
Yeah, mine.
Let him tag you a couple of times to make it look good. He'll tell you when to flop.
He won't need to tell me. I'm ready to flop now. In the opposite corner, I see Kid Cool eyeing me like I'm for sale, cheap. He takes a swig of his water bottle and comes out of his corner with murder written all over him. I stagger out and manage to grab him for a clinch.
Come on, break up the clinch. This ain't no dance marathon.
Let me hit you a couple of times, kid, just so I don't get an inferiority complex.
Okay, but when I wink, wait for my swing and go down. Got it?
Right.
Break.
Sure. Here, big boy, try this one.
Get to a neutral corner, Gandolfo. One, two... Three.
Get up, kid. Get up.
Four.
I never laid a glove on him, so
five,
help me.
Six. Seven.
Come on, kid. I didn't mean it.
Eight.
Honest, get up, boy.
Nine. Ten. The winner by a knockout, Gandolfo.
Mm-hmm. Kid Cool is still laid out like a dress suit when I stagger back to my corner. Stanley helps me into my bathrobe while he's murmuring plans for my total destruction in the one ear. I decided it's time for me to vacate the premises.
Let's go, punk.
Take him to the locker room, Stanley, and finish him off.
Now listen, I never touched that guy, honest. He just folded up on me.
$600,000 down the drain. You're gonna sweat for this fortune.
Yeah, before I sweat, Mitchell, you gotta catch me.
Driver! Look out, lady, I gotta catch a plane.
I bust away from Stanley's hot little paws and squirm through the crowd to the exit. I am probably the only fighter in history to win a fight and break an Olympic sprint mark at the same night. Luckily, there's a cab outside the garden. I jump in and give him the go-go. Step on it, Uncle. 52 Bleakman Street.
Gee, must have been giving you an awful beating to make you run out of the garden like that.
And the commentary. Let's move.
Okay, hang on. You mind if I ask you what happened in there?
I won.
If you won, it'd hate to see the other guy.
That's clever. I tell the hacky to wait outside my flat while I go up for some money and a change of clothes. The place is dark when I get there, and even before I turn the light on, I can smell the perfume. Good evening.
Buenas noches.
Yeah. Buenas noches yourself and a happy besame mucho.
I was so worried about you.
Didn't you understand the message I whispered in your ear?
Of course, but it's Stanley. He followed me all day until it is too late. I remember your address and I come up here to tell you.
Is that all?
No. I want to know if you know where Luis is.
Oh. Mitchell told me he flew the coop. That's all I know.
I have not seen him for 3 days now.
He's probably on a fast plane to Bolivia, which is where I should be if I want to live to be 34.
The gamblers have taken a big beating, no?
They have taken a big beating, see.
It's too bad they all pay off before they find out Kid Cool was poisoned.
Who cares if they didn't... What?
You have not heard? Kid Cool was poisoned. They find the stuff in his water bottles.
Is he dead?
No. Just very sick. Meanwhile, the gamblers have paid off many bets.
I thought there was something phony about that nosedive he took. Any ideas about who did it?
No. Whoever it was must have collected a nice hunk of change, as you say.
Yeah, it was somebody who knew Luis was slated to take a dive and figured to pull a fast one on the gambling boys.
Maybe Mike Mitchell do this himself.
Maybe anybody. You, Gandolfo, Stanley, even me. Look, baby, it won't take Mitchell long to locate this place. I gotta get dressed and blow. I'll see you some other time.
I give you goodbye, kiss.
Yeah. baby.
Yes.
One favor?
Yes.
Help me get the boxing gloves off, huh? It occurs to me that Loopy Monsoon is pretty free with a lipstick, but who am I to complain? I hustle her out in about an hour and start packing for a quick trip to Tibet. There's a knock on the door, and my knees take it from there. Hold it. Okay.
Greetings.
Well, if it ain't my old pal, Sergeant Hamilton J. Finger of the Gestapo. Come in, Sarge. I'm glad to see you.
I'll bet.
What brings you?
I'm not sure, but I think it was a phone tip to headquarters. If this is another practical joke, Rocky, I'm going to have you stuffed and roasted, so help me.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
A dame calls up headquarters and says there's a dead man at 52 Bleakman, apartment 2B. That's you.
A dead man? Maybe she meant me.
You don't know about this?
It sounds like a gag.
Yeah, darn it. Okay, Fortune, this is positively my last word on the subject. Any more trouble from you, and I'm resigning from the force.
Finger walks out and I open the closet door to put on my other suit. The one with two sleeves. As I open the closet, a guy who looks exactly like me falls out on his face. It ain't me. It's Luis Gandolfo, the Bolivian jaguar. He ain't much of a jaguar because he's been speared in the neck till dead. I stuff him back in the closet and head uptown after a quick run through the phone book. I am in trouble, and I think I know who's responsible.
Rocky, darling.
Whoa, whoa, down, girl. Whoa, no more mush. Back up.
You don't like me no more?
All I want right now is information.
What about?
About Luis Gandolfo.
You have seen him?
No, baby, but you have.
What?
Listen, honey, there was a fresh corpse in my closet when you left the apartment, and I didn't put it there.
A corpse of whom?
Of Luis Gandolfo.
Madre de Dios.
Don't pretend you didn't know anything about it. You went right down and phoned the cops, freaking the whole thing would be pinned on me.
You're crazy. Well, why should I do such a thing?
You want to know? Because you were the one who cleaned out the bookmakers on the fight tonight. You poisoned Kid Cool's bottle and bet everything you had on me. And you collected, too. But love boy Gandolfo showed up and wanted his cut. So you lured him up to my apartment and slipped a hatpin into his juggler. And you called the gendarmes figuring I'd take the rap. Is that right? Or am I dreaming?
Signor Rocky, you're crazy.
Maybe I am. You ain't the first one to tell me. But just to prove how crazy I am, do you mind if I take a look around this place?
Help yourself. Maybe if you tell me what you're looking for, I can save you the time.
I'm not sure, baby. It's either roll of bills 600 grand deep or some poison.
If you look for money, I cannot help you. Poison, I will be most happy to furnish.
Very funny. By the way, that big picture hat you were carrying in your hand in my apartment. I don't suppose you wear that with a hatpin, do you?
A hatpin?
Uh-huh. Let's see. This should be the hat closet. And this is the hat. And these are the holes for the hatpin. Where's the pin?
Pin? I think perhaps I have lost it.
Sure. You lost it in Gandolfo's throat, maybe.
I will not stand for this. Get out.
Where's the money, Loopy?
There is no money.
You want me to call the cops now, or are you going to level?
Oh, very well. How much do you want?
And you did slip the hatpin to Gandolfo.
He threatened me. He wants the whole share.
That's what I thought.
How much do you want?
Let's see the stuff.
In the drawer of the desk over there.
Here?
No. The bottom drawer.
Uh-huh. This one's empty, baby.
So is your head, Signor Fortune.
Not only do I let her sap me, I even bend over so she can lay a brass candlestick right back in my ear where it'll do the most good. Always a gentleman, that's me. Sometime later, the purple merry-go-round comes to a halt, and I see a familiar, ugly puss bending over me. Oh.
Take it easy, dream boy.
Oh, my head.
Ain't he sweet, Loopy? Just like a sleeping baby.
Oh. How did you get here, knucklehead?
Now, I might have just dropped in by chance, or then again, Loopy might have called me on the electric telephone to help her get rid of what's left of you.
I begin to get the picture now. You two are in this together.
You're very clever, Signor Fortune. So clever, you nosed yourself right into a coffin.
Get her with the New York accent.
What do we do, baby?
Get rid of him. He knows too much. He guesses the rest.
How about I should drop him out the window, huh?
Don't be an idiot, Stanley. We got to get him away from the apartment.
Okay. I'll bump him here and we'll drop him off the Palisade.
Okay, but just make it snappy.
Turn around, Fortune.
Can we talk this over?
I said turn around.
He says turn around, so I turned.
Hey, want it make a noise?
Yeah, this cannon's got a silencer.
Okay, get it over with.
So long, Fortune. Don't move, either of you.
Mike.
I said don't move or you'll get what Stanley got.
Thanks for the rescue, Mitchell.
Don't thank me, Fortune. You may be next. So you and the numbskull thought you could double-cross me and get away with it, huh, Loopy? You should know better than that.
Mike, I swear I wasn't in on it. It was Stanley's idea.
Yeah, don't give me that, baby. I followed that meathead over here, and I was standing in the hall for 10 minutes listening to
you two. Mike, it wasn't my idea.
Stanley doesn't have the brains to figure out a scheme like that. Poisoning Cool and then betting against the odds.
Fortune, it was his idea.
Oh, sure. It was my idea to have Stanley shoot me in the back of the head so I could look innocent, too.
Okay, Loopy. Where's the dough?
What, Mike?
The dough, the moolah. You were picking up bundles from every bookmaker in town after the fight, including me.
No, Mike, honest.
You're gonna play possum. Okay. Now, where's the dough?
But you know it ain't polite to hit a lady like Loopy with the palm of your hand. You should use your knuckles.
I'm not gonna play around much longer, Loopy. Where's the dough?
In the suitcase in the bedroom.
Shall we all take a little walk into the bedroom? Now, don't try anything. Let's go.
There.
Open it. You really cleaned up on that fight. Okay, close it and hand it over.
Okay, Mike.
Now, both of you, over the other side of the bed. Move.
Mike, what are you going to do?
You two characters are going to have a little lover's quarrel. Let's knock over a couple of lamps to make it look good. But when the cops find you both dead, they won't have to strain their imagination.
What about Stanley? How are you going to explain him?
Well, just make it a triangle. You see, I'm not going to have to do any explaining because by the time the authorities reach this place, I'm going to be on a plane for nowhere with a suitcase full of government certificates. Okay, Loopy, you first. So long, Chisler.
Okay, hold it.
Oh, my arm.
It's only a scratch. You okay, Rocky?
Fine.
Get me a doctor. Can't you see I'm bleeding?
Yeah, sure.
Your timing was fine, Sarge, but how'd you locate us?
I went back to your apartment for a second look and found Gandolfo in the closet. I traced you through a hacky who was parked outside your flat.
Holy smokes, I forgot all about him.
Well, he remembered you. He took the number of the cab you left in.
Yeah, I guess I owe him a fat tip, huh?
As far as I know, he's downstairs and his meter is still running.
I better get down there.
Now, just a minute.
Yeah?
If Gandolfo was dead in your flat, who fought at the garden tonight?
How should I know?
Gandolfo didn't have a mark on him.
He was a pretty tricky fighter.
How come you got a bruise on your cheek?
Me, Sarge? I ran into a door. Honest.
NBC has presented Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. Others in tonight's cast included Jack Mather, Joe Forte, Jack Carroll, Maya Gregory, Maurice Hart, Barney Phillips. Tonight's script was written by George Lefferts. Andrew C. Love directed. And now, to tell you about next week's adventure, here's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune.
Next week, I'll tell you about a job I wasn't hired for. I asked for this one because I wanted it. It took me from one end of the country to the other. Only I almost didn't make the other end. Rough? Brother, it was killing.
Remember, if you must travel at night, use the utmost caution. Most of all, slow down from your normal daytime driving speed. You may have the vision of an owl after dark, but your number may be up if you drive too fast. At all times, drive as though your life depends on it. It does. Visit with Fibber McGee and Molly tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.